If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. And will you stand in reverence to the Word of God tonight? And I want to read verse 19, 20, and 21 out of the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. Amen. I'll wait till you get there so you can follow along with me in the Word of God tonight. Praise God. Amen. Verse 19 of chapter 3 of the book of Acts. I still hear pages rustling, so I'm waiting just a second. The Word of God says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of His prophets since the world began." Heavenly Father, as we stand behind this pulpit again, we thank You, my God, that we can be in this tabernacle. We thank You, God, that we're saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Thank You, Lord, for the grace and mercy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the truth of Your Word that was expounded to us, yea, one time, God, that we understood that it came to us. We understood our need of a Savior, and the revelation of the cross, Lord, was revealed to us. We thank You, my God, for the blessed Holy Ghost and the presence of a holy God in camp meeting time. Lord, as I stand behind this pulpit tonight, I know the awesome responsibility that lays upon me, and I know the urgency of the hour, and I know that, my God, that surely, Lord, that You must help me tonight. This message You've dropped in my spirit, help me to convey it to Your people. Help me to communicate it in a right way. Help me, my God, I pray, to get out of the way and allow the Spirit of God to move and to work. I need the anointing, the divine unction of Your Spirit, that I may be able to deliver this word and it may go forth with power and demonstration tonight. Destroy every stronghold and every hold of the enemy in this place tonight. Arrest the attention of Your people. Speak individually to each one of them as only You can. Meet every need in this place as only You can, Lord. And we'll give the glory, the honor, and all the praise to You. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Praise God. I'm going to have to take my tie off, Pastor Eastman. Is that all right? Because it really bothered me here. And praise God. I'm going to have to take it off. I count it a real privilege and an honor, kind of humbled, to be preaching tonight. You may be seated. Even praise the Lord. And because I was coming anyhow. It's just an extra treat, I guess, to come and preach. But I was coming anyhow. Praise God for anybody to think I wasn't. I was coming anyhow. Praise God. Now Brother Frazier thinks you'll be thinking I'm waiting for a paycheck because I'll stick around a few nights and hear the other preacher. So, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to preach tonight on, amen, the word, amen, fresh. Everybody say fresh. I'd like to really preach on two words, fresh and refreshing. Really. Hallelujah. In the Word of God, Peter is proclaiming the word to these men that have exalted him and John because they have just seen a mighty miracle. They have seen a man that was sitting by the gate of Beautiful, crippled and lame, suddenly be healed and suddenly be miraculously raised up. And being these men, they immediately lifted Peter and John to the level of almost godhood. Really, they did. And Peter had to set them straight. But in the midst of his preaching, he gives us a couple, amen, revelational truths here tonight. Verse 19, he says, repent. Everybody say repent. He said, if you repent, then God will send a refreshing, a time of refreshing. I think of the Old Testament when I thought of this, and I thought of the children of Israel when the Ark of the Covenant was taken from them. You know the story, Hophni and Phinehas, in their corruption, amen, that God allowed the Ark to be taken by the Philistines. And that after 20 somewhat years, some of the men rose up in Gibeon and cried out and said, we'd like the Ark to come on back. Amen. We don't want it to be in the house of Obedom even any longer. We'd like for it to come on back to the tabernacle. And the Bible said that more that Samuel the prophet sent a word around to everybody, all of the leaders of Israel, and said to those men, meet me at Mizpah. Meet me at Mizpah. Now I thought and looked at that. Mizpah was a place where God's children met when they needed to cry out to God for repentance. Matter of fact, if you will look at it, you will find in the Old Testament that Mizpah was a place where it seemed as though God called those that seriously wanted God to move and work. And so when Samuel cried out, meet me at Mizpah, those men understood what it meant. It meant it wasn't going to be just a feel-good prayer meeting. It was going to be a time of consecration and repentance. Are you out there? Not a place for the faint-hearted or those that are casually serving God, but for those committed and sold out. And when that word went out, all those knew what Mizpah meant. They all knew what the place of Mizpah meant. They knew what it represented. That's why the prophet Samuel didn't say, meet me here or meet me there. He sent the word out and said, all right, if you want the ark back, then meet me at Mizpah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, meet me at Mizpah. Mizpah is where God sends those that are really hungry. Mizpah is where God sends those that are consecrated. God sends those committed to Mizpah. Matter of fact, Mizpah is the place when you're tired of being tired and you're tired of just having church and you want revival. That's when you go to Mizpah. Mizpah is the place when you're in a rut, hallelujah, and you want God to stir you. That's when you go to Mizpah. Mizpah's not a place that you just casually go to or you go with the mindset, amen, well, I think I'll just go there. No, they understood only those that were going to be sold out and really repent and cry out to God was going to Mizpah. Can you say amen? So it's not ironic here that the Peter would say this, repent first, then the blessings come. Repentance always brings a time of refreshing. Repentance always brings a revival. Repentance always ushers in God's times of refreshing. There has never been a revival, and there has never been a movement of God where it never started without repentance. That's why a lot of the modern day movements were not really revivals, because they were started not at the altar. They were started in a program room somewhere, in a board meeting somewhere. They were not started at the altar, nor were they started with repentance, but a genuine revival, heaven-sent revival, will start at the altar. Hallelujah. You're not hearing me, and I'll stay up here tonight for a few minutes. You study history, study revivals and the histories of revival. The main ingredient that ushered in that revival was prayer. Prayer, heartfelt repentance, and heart-seeking God, and crying out to God. So the prophet said, repent and God will blot your sins out, and repent and turn around, and God will see your action, and then God will send a time of refreshing. We got it opposite. We want God's receive the refreshing, Lord, and I just might repent. But God knows better than that. God knows if the refreshing comes without a change, then you ain't no better than after the refreshing's gone. God wants a heart change. God wants you rearranged. God wants you transformed. Can you say amen? So I feel like tonight, God is calling the church today back to the order. I'm saying, if you will cry out with all of your heart, you will find me, and I will send a time and a season of refreshing, something, hallelujah, that'll change somebody. Hallelujah. I don't plan on staying on this all night, thank God. Huh? But let me start here. Hallelujah. Well, I want the blessing. I want the blessing. I want the blessing. Well, you got to come the right way then. You got to come the right way. Look at your neighbor and tell him you got to come the right way. Hallelujah. Now, I got to thinking about this. And I thought to myself, then if you gather at Mizpah and you cry out to God then, God guarantees a time of refreshing. God guarantees it. Look at your neighbor and tell him God guarantees it. God says it is automatic. It'll come. It'll come. You don't got to advertise it. You don't got to do whatever. It'll just come. God promised that it would come. Praise God. Hallelujah. God promised that it would come. Now let's look here at verse 19 and move down here. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I look at that word times, and that tells me it's plural. That tells me that in the life of a child of God, he has seasons and times of refreshing. Not everything's the same. We all have our seasons and times of refreshing. Can you say amen? That tells me this, that if it's times, it means it's plural, and it means that then I just don't get it one time. But it means it's multiple times and multiple seasons and cycles of the Spirit of God moving. You're not hearing me tonight, but I think I'll preach a little bit right now. A cycle, what goes around, come around. It go around and come around. It like a boomerang. You throw it out and it'll come on back. Hallelujah. Seasons of time. Anybody that's been in this any length of time, you've seen the seasons, have you not? You've seen the times. You've seen it make a full circle, because the Spirit of God moves in multiple cycles in your life. And he moves in cycles in a church. And he moves in cycles in an individual life. That's why don't get weary and don't get to give up. If God's not moving, or it seems as though, amen, bless God, you're going through a dry spell, it's only a season. And the season will end, and the rain will come again, and there'll be a time of refreshing again. The word times tells me that God don't give it just me one time and say, all right, there you go, now you're on your own the rest of your walk. It means it comes like waves of glory and seasons of glory. Here a little, there a little. Hallelujah. All over. Praise God. Huh? Amen. You know what? Look at your neighbor and tell him, what season is it? And then tell them, the preacher's about ready to tell you. For I feel like we're moving in a season of refreshing. I feel like God is saying we're moving in a season of refreshing. Now, amen, bless God, to understand where we're at, amen, bless God, in this last day, amen, bless the Lord. Verse 20 and 21, tells us of the coming of the Lord, amen, praise God, and the coming of the age of all things. Glory to God. So what Peter is saying, in the last days, before Jesus comes, verse 20, before Jesus comes, in the last days, and before all is brought back to where it rightfully should be, amen, praise God, amen, bless God, there'll be times of refreshing. There'll be times of outpourings of the Spirit of the Lord in this last day. You don't hear me, or you get more excited about it. Praise God, huh? There'll be times of God replenishing and revivalizing and stirring the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. In this last day, we're not going down. We're not going under. We're going over. And God is sending a move of God and a time of refreshing to the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Right before He comes, there'll be an outpouring of His Spirit. Hallelujah. And these times are upon us. These seasons are upon us. The seasons that Prophet Joel prophesied that in the last days He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. This time is on us. This season is on us. My God, I don't have to get an evangelist in to have revival. The one that has revival is inside of me. Can you say amen? Not that the evangelist is wrong, and now that's wrong. But I'm here to tell you the potential of revival is inside of you. The repentant potential of refreshing and renewing is inside of you. Hallelujah. What time is it? It's time for God to send a refreshing to the church. Everybody shout times. That tells me this. Maybe I'm preaching a little ignorant here. I don't know. Strange messages I'm getting lately. My wife said maybe something's not quite right going on upside, up on top here or somewhere. But I feel like it's a strange delivery. But times tells me this then. What my fathers had, amen, is what they got. But now, my time has come. Amen. Somebody say, my time has come. And see, if it was just, and time of refreshing would come, then that means it's only one time, and then it left. And when it died off, then it was done. If time of refreshing was just time and that S wasn't there, it would mean the day of Pentecost was the only time that God poured His Spirit out and the days of miracles died with the apostles, as some are preaching. If the word time was just there, it means just one single act happening then, Brother Kyle, and that's it. But when you put S on there, it puts it plural and it makes it progressively and continually. And that's what Peter did he not say on the day of Pentecost, and this is for you and your children and for your children's children and as many as God shall call. He called that prophecy to be progressional, not just one time being fulfilled, but being fulfilled over and over and over. And that's what times means to me. It means what my father got, hallelujah, that I can have. And not just what he had, I can have even more. Hallelujah. Times means also that when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it wasn't a one-time experience. I can be refilled. I can be renewed. I can be restored. There are time and time and time and time and time and time when God will visit and touch me over and over and over and over. Don't be like the three frogs that found themselves in a rut. Two jumped out and the one couldn't get out. The third frog, we'll call him Lester for the sake of Brother David Eastman. We'll give him a name. He probably thinks all frogs have names, probably. God personally knows them. I guess we'll give him a name. But Lester couldn't get out. The other two went on hopping. Lester said, go ahead. Don't worry about me. I've lived a long life. I've been a good frog. Praise God, whatever. 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 They went hopping on down, feeling bad about Lester. All of a sudden, here come Lester behind them. They said, Lester, you couldn't get out. What was the problem? They said, well, I didn't have the want to, and I couldn't seem to jump out of there. I lost my want to. But when I seen the tires of the car coming, I suddenly got a want to again. And I found out God's people need a want to. They've got in a rut. They've got in the same rut that they've been in forever. Hallelujah. You need a want to. God's not a God of rut. Thank you. Sister Larson, I'm Irish tonight. I'm green from my nose to my toes, and if I get sick, my face will turn green. Huh? You sent me this. Praise God, and I go everywhere with it. Praise the Lord. When I wear my green suit, I wear this. I take this with me. I'm dressed, huh? Hallelujah. You made me lose my train of thought. What you doing? Everybody say times. Let's look at the word fresh then. It's not in the text, but I must look at it for to get to the word refreshing. The word fresh means to be at its best potential quality. When something is fresh, it is at its peak. And from that moment on, it loses something. If it's not used immediately when it's at its fresh peak, then it loses something. And the longer you let it sit, the longer it loses its freshness. Now, I don't know about you, but I tried to experiment with this. I put an apple on the table. And I decided I wasn't going to eat it a while. I kept watching that apple every morning. But I could not see with the naked eye the freshness leaving that apple. But the evidence of the freshness was sure showing, because it started getting little spots on it. And it started getting kind of bruised looking, kind of brown on one side. Now when I put it on the table, it was fresh as it could be. But as I let it sit there, it lost its freshness. Amen? I didn't see it losing it. But the evidence of it losing was starting to be seen. You don't see your loss of freshness, but those around you see evidence that you're not as fresh as you used to be. Look at your neighbor and tell them you're not as fresh as you used to be. There's marks on you. You sit long enough, you get a little rotten. Pastor said they was a good member, but now they're getting a little rotten. Getting a little ornery. I used to ask them to do something, they just jump to it. Now they say, can't you get anybody else? There's signs of rottenness on you. You're losing your freshness. Huh? I always wondered why ladies say, you know, let me go freshen up. I've never told my wife what the revelation of that is. But the revelation of that is somewhere they've lost their freshness. So I'm a man of wisdom. I say to my wife, go by all means and freshen up. Because I know when she's fresh, then I know, praise God, that I'm going to get a hug. And I'm probably going to get a good old smooch. You know, do they say smooch up here? I don't know what they say here. But I know when she's fresh. But when my wife's not fresh, I don't get no hug. And if I get a smooch, I don't get a smooch, Brother Frazier. I get a peck. Yeah, glam, strong. She's not fresh. When the kids were little, you know, I come home. How come this ain't done? She's not fresh. After a few kids, I realized you don't say that. The first one I used to say, how come this didn't get done? She's not fresh. And when she wasn't fresh, she, you know, when I go down there. I got married, I told my dad, I said, tell me about women. My dad said, I could tell you, but I never could figure out your mother either. Because when my wife wouldn't be fresh, she wouldn't holler and scream at me. My wife would just start bawling. And then I'd say, I don't know why you're bawling. Are you hurting or what's going on? You're bawling. And then she'd bawl more and she'd run to the room. And then if I brought flowers home, she'd bawl then. And then I'd think, I don't understand this. You're bawling now. You're bawling yesterday. So then I found out there's two types of bawling, see. With a woman, there's two types of bawling. You have products that you buy and it says fresh on it. Or it says it is fresh to this date. That's really a lie. That's really a lie. Because the moment a loaf of bread leaves the bakery, it's not fresh no more. That's a lie. But we read into the lie and look at it and say, well, look, Ma, it's fresh till 2 weeks from now. Because somebody has told us the product is fresh for 2 weeks. But really the truth of the matter is it's lost its ingredient and freshness. Immediately it starts to lose it. Because we're living in a world where you lose your freshness. We're living in a world where things die and things decay and things lose its freshness. Huh? Yes, we do. We live in a decaying, rotten world. And the children of God, if you're not careful, you lose your freshness too. Can you say amen? It's false advertisement. Fresh pizza. Fresh pizza. It ain't fresh unless I eat it immediately and take it out of the oven. But when the moment I take it and I put it in my car and I got to drive home and I put it down there, it's lost some freshness in between somewhere. But the advertisement, they put fresh pizza on it. You never get a thing where they say, still, crummy, moldy pizza. Wow, that's just what I wanted. Stale, moldy pizza. How did you know? You make it like Mama did. How you know, huh? But you see on the thing, all them pizza boxes say, fresh pizza. Because they want to put in your mentality, it's fresh. Because you think, wow, fresh. Everybody say fresh. Fresh means you're at your peak. When something's fresh, it means, praise God, it's reached the pinnacle, hallelujah. And from that moment on, you're going down. Yeah. And God likes fresh things. Let me give you two examples, praise God. Amen, I'll give you more. Manna, every day, was fresh. God didn't have leftover manna, 3 weeks manna, pull it off the shelf manna. Huh? It was fresh. The bread and the fish, amen, praise God, that he got to feed the multitude, that was stale, but God made it fresh. Can you say amen? And so God likes freshness. Look at your neighbor and tell him God likes freshness. Yeah. You see them people in the stores plunking the watermelons, squeezing the melons, squeezing this. They're looking for freshness or something. I don't know. Praise God. They're squeezing it. Almost like they're hugging it or something. You walk by and you want to say, are you having bonding time with that watermelon? I'm tempted to tell them, if you get any closer to the thing and you have a relationship, how are you going to kind of need it at a picnic? Going to have to put a leash on it to make it a pet. Or something. Huh? Amen. But they're looking for freshness. The whole world's looking for freshness. Yes, they are. They're looking for freshness. The bread man that comes down to Jack's Market, I watch the man. He walks up the aisle and he takes off the old bread. Amen, praise God. He don't leave it up there. It's old bread. And now it may not be old to some people's standard. Matter of fact, some of them sell it. Amen, praise God. You walk by and it says day old bread. Some of them say 2 day old bread. Some of them say a week old bread or something like that. I don't know. Amen, bless God. Some people will buy that. Other people will not buy a day old bread. It's got to be whatever. Fresh right now, made. Amen, glory to God. We got a little bakery up above us, and they make the best donuts you can. Oh, man, do they make good donuts. Amen. I have to get delivered. I drive by now and say, I'm not stopping today. But, praise God. But there's a little old lady in there, and when I get behind her, every day she asks the woman, did you make this today? And the woman gets a little bit out of shape and says, if it was made yesterday, we'd have it on the shelf, day-old bread, ma'am. But it's made today, every day. And I have the great fortune of getting behind that woman every day almost. And she'll ask that woman every day, has this bread been made today? And the woman will say, yes, ma'am, it's fresh. They brought it out. And if that little dear old woman, amen, even has an ounce of doubt, she'll say, I don't want this one. Go back and get me one. That young lady will say, yeah, but no. And then she'll go back with it. I hear the owner saying, I could overhear the owner saying, because the old lady must be hard of hearing, because I can hear the owner say, she's been a valuable customer for 40 years. Give her what she wants. But I think this way sometimes. It's strange. But I think they probably go back there and they probably christen that loaf and say, hereby you're fresh now. Huh? Maybe, I don't know what she does. Maybe she feels and sees if it's warm. So maybe they got a hair blower back there and they just kind of blow on it. Aren't you glad I'm not a baker? Blow a hair blower on it and just get a little warm. She'll squeeze that thing and she'll feel the warmth. Huh? And she'll think it's fresh. Praise God. Everybody wants a fresh product. And when you lose your freshness, you become stale and mildewy. What happens to bread when it loses it? It's stale. It gets crusty. You ever cut a stale loaf of bread? Homemade bread when it gets stale? It gets crusty. It crumbles. And I believe a lot of God's children are crumbling today under the pressures of life because they're not fresh. Yeah. They're falling apart. Sister, could you run prayer meeting Wednesday? Amen. Praise God. I've got to go visit someone at the hospital. They're falling apart. Stale bread falls apart. Gets crusty, hard, untouchable, unsqueezable, hard. Huh? You know what stale bread has the nerve to tell you? Well, I'm still soft on the inside. Well, yeah, but you're crusty on the outside. You've gotten stale somewhere. Now, the word fresh means to be vibrant and at your peak, amen, bless God, of production, of potential, really. Amen. Now, let's look at the word refreshing. Well, just for a second here, let me use another illustration. This here freshener, this is a false advertisement. Because this doesn't freshen air. Only God can send fresh air. This masks something that got in the air. It doesn't freshen air. If this is fresh air, then they bottled it. And it smells like that. I'm sorry. Got in your face. I meant amen right there. Right there. See, I knew I could do that to you. No. Oh, that stuff. Ooh, man. Yeah. Oh, you smell like roses. I didn't read the label, I'm sorry. But see, if this was fresh air, and we were freshening the air with fresh air, we'd all be running around here tonight and we'd have sprayed the tabernacle. Because we'd have said, my Lord, the air's polluted and there's not enough oxygen here. Let's put some oxygen in the air. That's fresh air. Now, it says here, air freshener. That's what it says. But it's false advertisement. Because it doesn't have the ability to freshen air. Because only God can send fresh air. What this does is mask something. And when some of God's children, instead of repenting and getting fresh, they just get all spiritual ear freshener and mask their problem. Then when you come by, you say, good thing you have a fan. When you come by and say, you know what? I smell something kind of rotten around here. You do. Huh. I better put it up, huh? boy. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? I don't have too much of this left. That's enough fresh air, is it not? Don't you love this fresh air? If this is fresh air, why don't they put it in oxygen? Man needs fresh air, just spray it up his nostrils. Huh? But see, it's false advertising. What it's telling me is, oh, if I spray this, the air will be fresh. But that's not true. The air's still stinking. But now the rose smell has mixed in with the bad smell, and suddenly what do you do? You come out of the bathroom and go, boy, that's fresh air. No, that's not fresh air. That's tainted air. That's not fresh air. Fresh air is fresh air. Matter of fact, can anybody tell me what fresh air smells like? You can't. Because you can't tell me, oh, fresh air smells like rain. Well, it was raining today, so we must not have fresh air. Oh, fresh air smells like dandelions. I didn't see no dandelion around, so must not have no fresh air. I didn't poke my head out and wonder, I wonder if God put any fresh air in the world today. Huh? You don't have to worry. God didn't send Gabriel and all the angels down and say, put that air wick down there and spray it on down there. Huh? Freshen up that world. Praise God. He didn't do that. So the word fresh means you rise to the potential that God wants you to be. And from that moment, if you do not allow God to do something in your life, you begin to decline down. The word refreshing means the act of being able to put back into an element or an object something that is lost. Huh? Jesus said, if the salt loses its savior, it's worth nothing. That's what he said. And I'm going to show you this, that only God can refresh. Nobody can refresh. Only God has the ability to refresh. Amen. Only God has the ability to put back into something that the element has taken out of them that they can't put in themselves. No program can put it back in you. When you lose your freshness, I don't care what seminar you go to, can't put your freshness back in you. And I can't lay hands on you and say, I'm putting freshness back in you. There's probably a lot of weirdos doing that and flaky people doing that. I'm putting freshness back in you. I'm imparting a gift to you. I'm stirring you. I am you. They ain't doing nothing but praying over a stale loafy bread. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, you're nothing but an old stale piece of bread. Without God, you're just an old lumpy piece of bread. You're an old stale bread laying on a shelf. Amen. Praise God. You don't have no freshness. You lose your joy. You lose your love. You get stale in God. And let's face it, all of us become stale. Matter of fact, I can prove to you that you are stale. Because if you wasn't stale, then you'd be fresh. And if you was fresh, you wouldn't need refreshing. But all of us need refreshing. And in order to need refreshing, you've had to lose some element of freshness. Am I making any sense? And only God can put back what was taken out. Can you say amen? Now let's look at something here. Peter says the times of refreshing, amen, shall come from where? The presence of the Lord. God sends the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord, amen, refreshes and puts back in a stale, lumpy loaf of bread, hallelujah, the ability to be fresh again. Did not Paul say the outer man perish, but the inner man is renewed day by day? That's God's freshening plan. God refreshes. Look at your neighbor and tell him you need refreshed. Now, if God even puts back the freshness in you and I, hallelujah, then that means one thing. We've lost some of the elements that causes us to be fresh. Amen, praise God. And the moment we admit we've lost some elements, Lord, and we need freshen, God, and we need refresh, God, then the Spirit of the Lord comes in and He begins to renew and refresh you again. Hallelujah. Why are you weary? Why are you tired? Why do you need refreshing? Because you've lost something along the journey, and you've lost something along the way. It's not a sin to lose it, and it's not a sin to omit it. It's a sin when you don't. Amen. Bless God. We all lose something along the way. That's why we need times of refreshing, and times of renewal, and times of reviving, and times of stirring, because the human element of us lose something. Praise God. Amen. Paul said this heavenly gift is given in an earthly tabernacle. Amen. Praise God. Jesus got the Spirit without measure, but you didn't. You got the Spirit with measure to a certain degree, and you live with limitations. And so you begin to lose something in the transition. And that's why you need refreshed and revived and stirred. Can you say amen? Amen. So let's look at something here. If I need something put back in me, everybody say, I need something put back in me. If something has depleted from me, then and only God has the ability to put it back in me, then why am I going to someone else? Huh? Boy, I really need something from camp meeting. Why am I telling you? I need to tell God. I need to tell God that I need something. Because only God has the ability to put something back in me that I may have lost. Amen. Praise God. Along the way and along the journey. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, if freshness means the peak of the product is at its peak and the full potential, then all I have to do to look at the church in its freshness is I've got to go back to the day of Pentecost in the upper room, because that's where the church was born. And when that birth of the church, then that's the freshness of the church right there. Then I've got to look at the ingredients of the new church, praise God, and the upper room church, hallelujah. And so here's some of the ingredients, amen, praise God, and the fresh church in the upper room. Number one, when they came out of the upper room filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter began to preach. And a church, praise God, that loses its freshness is a church that loses its message. And when a church loses the message of the cross and the message of the gospel, they've lost their freshness. Can you say amen? But when the church came out of the upper room filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter began to preach. Hallelujah. And that was a preaching church. Somebody say, a fresh church is a preaching church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You won't be saying, my, our preacher's getting longer. You'll be saying, wow, come on and preach. Glory to God. Challenge me to preach. Challenge the preacher. Come on, preach me the word of God. There'll be a freshness. And one of the ingredients we have lost in the loaf, brother, is a freshness of the gospel. A fresh desire for the word of God. So Lord, put back in this loaf a freshness of the gospel. Can you say amen? Acts chapter 2, you'll see and you'll read where it says some ingredients of the early church. And let's look at it for a second in chapter 2. Praise God. I've got to quit in a few minutes, but I want to look at this. Amen. Bless God before we move forward. Verse 41. It says, then they gladly received the word. Amen. Praise God. One of the ingredients that God put in the fresh church is a teachable spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Verse 42. They continued steadfast in the doctrine and fellowship. Amen. Bless God. Some of the ingredients of a fresh church is that they'll teach doctrine. Amen. And another ingredient of a fresh church is they'll have fellowship one with another, and there'll be no division and backbiting, but there'll be unity among the brethren, and there'll be freshness with fellowship. Another ingredient is breaking of bread. Hallelujah. There'll be those, amen, that'll break bread together. Hallelujah. And then prayer. there'll be prayer, and then the fear of the Lord come upon them, and then signs and wonders followed them. Hallelujah. And then they gave unto God with one accord and one mind, daily with singleness of heart. Amen. They gave to God and prayed and fasted. Some of the ingredients that God put in the loaf in the very beginning that we've allowed at the time and the age to take out of us. But we need a refreshing. Only God can restore what the locust and the cankerworm has taken away. Only God can send a refreshing. Only God can put back what the locust has ate away and the devil has stolen. Only God can say, you are fresh, you are revived, I'm putting back in you things you have lost along the journey. Now, if the bread man could learn that secret, they'd never have to take a loaf off the shelf. They would just say, you're fresh. But he has not that ability. But God can take a stale loaf and declare it fresh again and put freshness back in it. Now, notice this. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do like the bread man? Because if God did like the bread man, you'd be gone by now, and I would too. Because when God came by to inspect us and we had a little crust on us, God just said, all right, in the bread truck you go. Huh? And then there'd be a new loaf there. But see, God takes that old loaf and says, oh, you're a little crusty on the edges. Got a little mildew here. But I think I can make you fresh again. Huh? I think I can stir you again. I think I can stir in you the ingredients. See, because the truth of the matter is, inside of you is all the ingredients to be fresh again. Inside of you is all the ingredients. You don't got to go out somewhere and find the ingredients. It's inside of you. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of life, and He's the Spirit of renewal, and He's constantly renewing the inner man. There should always be refreshings and renewings inside of you. Can you say amen? That's why I believe in the last days, God's sending refreshing. God's sending times of refreshing, like the prophet Joel said. In the last days, God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. What is the reason for the Spirit of God moving? What is the reason for the presence of God to come and inhabit among His children? It's not, bless God, to make you something you're not. It's to make you fresh. It's to make you vibrant. It's to make you attractive to the world, that they'll see something in you that they don't got. And God says, this is why I want you to be fresh. This is why I don't want you masking and folding and not genuine. I want you genuinely sincere and fresh before me. Hallelujah. And I don't think there's no better place than in camp meeting to let God freshen us and let God stir us and say to God tonight, I am a loaf of bread. Somebody say that with me. I am a loaf of bread and I need refresh tonight. I need God to put back in me some things I've lost along the journey. And I need God to stir the gifts of the Spirit, the call of God. Some things I've lost. I'm a man of God enough to admit I've lost some things along the journey. And God can only put a freshness back inside of me. Hallelujah! 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 Stand to your feet and raise your hand to the Lord. Come on, all across this tabernacle. There are someone here tonight that you got offended with my preaching because you think you're not stale. But you're the stalest of us all, if the truth be the matter. You're crumbling. Spiritually, you're crumbling. Spiritually, you're not where you should be because you're crumbling. Staleness. What happens? You can't live on last year's blessing. You can't live on yesterday's blessing. You can't live on 20 years ago blessing. You got to have freshness. Now, I'm not talking about the fresh revelation that some people are preaching today. We don't need a fresh revelation. The ingredients is not new, and the ingredients is not something changed. God doesn't change the ingredient and say, let me put something different in there. Let me put a generic one in there. I don't like the main one, so I'll put a generic. No, the ingredients is the same. Hallelujah. He doesn't change the ingredients. And so when I'm talking freshness, I'm not talking about changing my message and changing the direction and changing what their forefathers had. I'm saying we need to keep the same ingredients. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And God, freshen. Put it back in me. Freshen me up, Lord. Hallelujah. Because here I am. I'm come to camp meeting, Lord, and I need refresh. So send a refreshing of your spirit. Amen. Isn't the presence of God here? Isn't God in this tabernacle? Isn't God's presence here? Can't you feel God's presence all around you? Then that means that if you can feel and God's presence is here, that means God has sent refreshing. That means God is desiring to move and stir you and renew you and do something inside of you that needs refreshed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Someone lift your hand and say, Lord, refresh me tonight. I don't want to waste any more time. And it's not a waste of time to preach. But I want to move on. I want to have a prayer line tonight. And I know it's only the second night. But I want to pray for you tonight. And you know what I'm going to pray? I'm going to pray God freshen them. Freshen them, God. Freshen them, God. Freshen them, God. Some of you are going to weep because you haven't wept in a while. The freshness has to come again. Some of you will laugh because laughter has been far from you lately. One of the signs of your staleness is you've lost your joy and you've lost your song. And so the evidence of your freshness will be a song will start coming out of you again. Evidence of freshness will be all different in every loaf, really. It'll be different in you than it is in me. But the evidence of freshness will come when God sends freshness inside of us. Can you say amen? Maybe you've lost the freshness of giving. God has sent a freshness and stir you to give again to God. Maybe you've lost the freshness of pray and prayer time. And your prayer life's become stale. God has sent a freshness back. And send the spirit of prayer and send a freshness back to your prayer life. Hallelujah. Whatever it is tonight, I don't know what it is and I don't want to know what it is and I don't have time to know what it is. But God knows what it is tonight. And do not be deceived tonight. There's not one in here tonight that doesn't have an element of staleness there. There's not one that doesn't have a sign of crustiness or mildew or some kind of evidence of something we've lost along the way. So don't be deceived and don't you dare sit in the chair and try to tell me you're self-righteous and you've all made it. You're a load. Man, you're fresh. You're always fresh. You're always whatever. Huh? I hate phony baloney Christians. I hate facade Christians. Amen. Be real. Be real. Admit it to God, be real. God will help you if you're real. Nothing worse than being stale and everybody else knows you're stale and you're trying to be fresh and act like you're fresh. I'm fresh. I haven't lost nothing. I'm okay. I'm all right. When the evidence of staleness is all around. Evidence of staleness. I'll be honest with you. We live in a very stale day. And we live in a very rotten and decaying age. And all you've got to do is just live today and there's evidence of decay that can get around you. And it takes more to stay fresh than it does to get stale. You can get stale in a hurry. You don't got to take long to get stale. But boy, it's a battle today, brother, to stay fresh. Isn't it a battle? Man. Sitting in church with all them crusty ones around you and they get a bad spirit and you're staying, trying to stay fresh. Fresh. Huh? That's why I believe this much. Only the Spirit of God can keep us fresh. Only the Spirit of God can keep us fresh. Amen. How many believe that He wants the same product that He started with? How many of you believe that God deserves the same product He started with? How many believe He's coming for a stale, crusty old mildew church? Moldy and powerless and no victory and complaining and murmuring and griping. How many believe He's coming back for the same product He started in the upper room? How many believe He deserves freshness? When God squeezes you, He deserves to squeeze you. And only God can squeeze you to test you for freshness. And no one else got it. If some brother's trying to squeeze you, you tell him, "You ain't my squeezer. God is." You're not my squeezer. Huh? The preacher's not even your squeezer. Huh? God's your squeezer. And He has a right to squeeze you and expect freshness. Yes, He does. And He doesn't have an expiration date on you. Well, Brother Rob expires. We better use him pretty good in this camp meeting because 3 days from now he expires. He'll be good for nothing. We better get him lead song service, do everything, preach even whatever. My Lord, he's got an expiration date on him. But see, the truth of the matter is you're going to live forever. And the truth of the matter is this. God inside of you, it doesn't expire. The Spirit of God's eternal in you. Yes. You get a little older. We're getting older, brother. But our spirit is still renewed. And you can be 85 in here and be fresh. Matter of fact, there's some 85-year-olds in here fresher than some 16-year-olds. Some 16-year-olds are so crusty you couldn't put a knife in them. You couldn't cut them because they're hard-hearted and they're crusty. Amen. Praise God. Lord, keep my heart tender. That you can cut through me. Woo! Keep my heart tender. Can you say amen? How many want to be fresh tonight? How many want to be fresh tonight? Praise God. God bless his brother. He's starting the line right now. Come. Come right now. Come. 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 I want some preachers to come and help me tonight. Get right behind us, brother. You come right here. You come right here. Come right here. You first. You first. You come first. Come here. Praise God. Let's start a line over here. I want some of the brothers, all the preachers to help me tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. You want to be fresh tonight? God, put a freshness in me. Put a freshness in me. Put a freshness in me, Lord. Put a freshness in me. All the preachers, you want to line up, we'll put them through the middle. Praise God. I'm terrible at organizing. Sometimes the prayer line... But we know what we're doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As you're standing in this line, I want you to get your heart right with the Lord. And I want you to say, Lord, I need freshness tonight. You know the areas of my life that have gotten stale, God. You know the areas of my life. I think it'll be a great... We're going to have a great camp meeting around here. Because tonight God's dealing and God's been doing some things here. We're going to have a great time in this camp meeting. Praise the Lord. And tonight God's going to move in a great way. You're not going to leave like you came in Jesus' name. Because the Spirit of God is here tonight. He's here tonight. Praise God, He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Come on, raise your hand to the Lord. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands. Let me hear you praise the Lord and just begin to praise Him before we ever do anything. Let's praise Him tonight. Lord, we thank You. Oh, Lord, we thank You. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You tonight. Oh, Lord, we thank You. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God, breathe on us. Oh, breathe on us tonight. You see, Lord, our need. Lord, You see, Lord, our need. Oh, we stand before You, Lord, tonight. Refresh us, Lord. Refresh us, Lord. Send times of refreshing. Let this, Lord, be a season of refreshing for the children of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. You'll not leave us in the condition we're in. You'll not leave us, Lord. Hallelujah. Where You found us. But Lord, refresh us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody praise Him. Hallelujah. Lord, revive me. Lord, refresh me. Lord, I pray tonight. Hallelujah. I'm calling on Your name. Lord, I'm calling on Your name. Yo, we need You. Lord, only You can put back what the enemy has stolen, what time has taken, what trials and valleys and afflictions have robbed, my God, from us tonight. Only You can put it back. Only You can restore the joy of my salvation. Only You can put a song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's Your people, Lord. They stand before You tonight. Lord, refresh. Oh, Lord, refresh. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody ought to thank Him. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 my Lord, my Lord, my Lord.